Thank you. I have no relationships to disclose. I performed this study in the highlands region of Chiapas, Mexico, where many indigenous people reside. As you can see from the map in the upper left, the green shaded region is Chiapas, and it's the southernmost state in Mexico that borders Guatemala. Here I also have some facts to give you sort of a snapshot of indigenous life in Chiapas. For example, nearly a third of indigenous homes don't have running water. The infant mortality rate in Chiapas is the second highest in the country, and the maternal mortality rate is the third highest in the country, more than twice what the national mortality rate is. Within Chiapas, the highlands region specifically has the largest percentage of people who don't have access to basic goods and services. So, caused by the Chlamydia trachomatis bacteria, trachoma is the leading cause of preventable blindness in the world. The organism enters the eye, causes inflammation and scarring in the upper eyelid, which ultimately leads to blindness when eyelashes turn inward and scratch the cornea. The disease is often, in Chiapas at least, a result of transmission via fomites, for example, sharing of towels or clothing. And this disease is endemic in 5 municipalities in Chiapas. The World Health Organization has developed the SAFE strategy, which highlights the importance of surgery to correct inward-turned eyelashes, antibiotics to treat infection, and facial hygiene and environmental improvement to prevent the disease. So facial hygiene, or face washing, certainly has the potential to be the most efficient and effective of prevention measures against this disease. It's free, so to speak, but of course, the success of hygiene interventions would require clean water access, educational programs to link hygiene with prevention of the disease, and other resources such as towels, as I mentioned. So I performed this study with the help of the state trachoma program in Chiapas. I visited 2 villages, one named Buenos Aires in the municipality of Ocosingo, where trachoma is endemic and the state program health workers visit there, and as well as Majosic in Tenejapa, which is a municipality in Chiapas where trachoma is not endemic, and as a result, the trachoma state program health workers do not visit. With the help of an interpreter, I interviewed and observed families in each village. And these families were chosen by the local community authorities, essentially based on which family would accept me into their home for that time frame. In each family, I interviewed the mother. Not only are the mothers directly affected, often the mothers and children are at greatest risk, but the mothers are really in a unique position to bring their knowledge of the disease and the importance of facial hygiene to children and other members of the family. So here are some brief characteristics of the households that I visited. And both households had dirt kitchen floors. They actually happened to have cement floors in the other parts of the home. The kitchen was separate and was dirt flooring, as you can see from the picture on the left. And in contrast, in Buenos Aires, the family accessed water from a river, which was about a 20-minute walk round trip up and down a steep hill. And then in Majosic, there was actually a pretty sophisticated system of piped water. You can see from the picture on the right, they had large wash basins and actually porcelain sinks, which were just outside the home. So mothers were asked to list primary water uses of the family under the assumption that the order that they would give would reflect their priority of use. In Buenos Aires, the mother cited drinking as the number one use of water in the home, whereas in Majosic, laundry and personal hygiene were both equally a priority. So here are some of the significant responses to questions regarding hygiene. when asked for reasons that people in the community might not wash their face, the mother in Buenos Aires acknowledged a lack of information and a lack of water as such reasons. And in Majocic, the mother suggested that parental responsibility, certain customs, and a lack of education were reasons that people there might not have clean faces or wash their face. In addition, the mothers were asked how often should someone wash their face, and the mother in Buenos Aires said 2 times a day and said 5 times a day if there was more water available. And in Majocic, she stated that 3 times a day was adequate to have a clean face. So in terms of questions about the disease, unfortunately, in Buenos Aires, the mother had essentially no knowledge of trachoma, which is sort of troubling because this is a municipality where trachoma is endemic, and the trachoma healthcare workers are visiting this community pretty regularly. You can see by her quote, she says, "We don't know this trachoma because health personnel have not informed us." In significant contrast was Majocic, where the disease is not endemic. The trachoma workers, again, do not visit, but she identified trachoma as an eye disease that could lead to vision loss, was often caused by a lack of hygiene and potentially because of a lack of water. So in addition to personal interviews, I observed the practices and home surroundings of each family, the most relevant of which are shown here. I lived in Buenos Aires with the family for 3 days and in Majocic 1 day due to time constraints in the field. In each village, I observed members of the family washing their face 1 time per day and bathing 1 time per day. In Buenos Aires, clothes were washed 1 time over the course of 3 days, and in Majocic, once in the day that I was there. So the interesting thing about this is that this seems probably pretty frequent if we think about our own lives, but recall that this is discrepant from what the women cited as the important frequency of face washing and bathing, etc. Here are some secondary observations, both positive and negative. For example, the first 4 that you see are indicative of positive attitudes and practices regarding hygiene, and whereas the last 2, cooking smoke and dirt floors, can represent factors that ultimately increase transmission of the disease because it encourages eye rubbing and extra irritation of the eyes. So certainly there was evidence of positive opinions and practices in both of the communities, in both of these families, regarding hygiene. But again, the lack of trachoma knowledge in Buenos Aires was unfortunate. Not only, again, is this an area visited by the trachoma healthcare workers, but the relationship between hygiene and trachoma is of utmost importance in the prevention and control of the disease. This study had some limitations. First and foremost, it was a pilot exploratory study with the intent to examine qualitative data on a small scale. And really, as a result of that, it's difficult to measure the impact of some of these other limitations here. For example, as I mentioned, the families were selected by the local community authorities based on what I thought was whether they would take me into their home, but there might have been other underlying factors there in their choices that could make these 2 families not representative of other families in the community in terms of, say, water access. So in spite of its small size, there are several implications that learned from this study for public health nurses. First, the importance of cost-effective and geographically and culturally appropriate interventions. For example, in communities that may be hard to reach by antibiotic or surgical interventions, facial hygiene really has the potential to be one of the most effective prevention measures against the disease. sort of in the same light the importance of recognizing the comprehensive nature of this disease and of course the importance of the connection between hygiene and trachoma, but also the need to consider and address issues such as clean water access, alternative cooking methods to reduce the amount of cooking smoke, improving the general home environment, getting rid of dirt floors, putting cement in, and without addressing those, certainly there's less likelihood of successful intervention. Public health nurses can also utilize the family relationships in local prevention and education activities. For example, again, as I mentioned, the unique position that mothers have to teach not only children but other members of the family and emphasizing that relationship in promoting the prevention message. We need to try as best we can to identify possible reasons for the discrepancies between the practices we observe and the attitudes that are reported by the community. And again, without addressing those, there is limited success for such interventions. The importance of reevaluating field interventions with the community input. So, for example, we saw that in Buenos Aires, there was a significant lack of knowledge, but this is where the trachoma program visited. So perhaps if their evaluation component was stronger, more visible, and they were getting input on their messages by community members, there might have been a longer lasting effect. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, recognizing the cultural beliefs and social norms and the role of those in the treatment and prevention, especially with a disease like trachoma, where prevention really relies in these communities on behavior change. So going from not really washing your face or having a limited frequency of doing so to increasing that. Some other examples are using women to promote the prevention message for other women or other community members so that when the field workers, the public health nurses, leave, that message is still going on. Or in this community, for example, the women are very unlikely to be reading and writing, and so perhaps using images as a way to get the message across and taking into consideration the fact that there might not be a high literacy level. Certainly, future research is needed in this area, so this is really just a jumping off point. So I want to acknowledge the State Trachoma Program for assisting me with the execution of this study, and of course the families who took me into their home where I learned so much, and lastly, my mom, who's always trying to recognize and bring out my inner public health nurse. Thank you.